TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show. This is podcast number 105, and I'm Libby, your host. And this week we have returning guests and a brand new guest.
Peter from West Hollywood.
Tom from Glendale.
Marcia from the Valley.
Susie from Encino.
And welcome, Susie. This is technically your first podcast. We won't count live at WonderCon quite the thing, because that was really an ordeal with a lot of people. So, but lots of fun, I have to say.
Absolutely.
All right, let's start off with the news. And the first thing I have is that the show Smashed has been renewed for some unknown reason.
Okay, I'm happy.
I like Smashed.
The ratings are actually pretty good. For NBC...
Well, then that's the reason.
For NBC, they're exceptional.
And then, as a result of renewing the show, the showrunner has stepped down.
Which Teresa Rebeck.
I'm not sure
what
how those...
What did Teresa Rebeck do before?
She's a playwright.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So she stepped down as a showrunner, but she said that she's staying on as an executive producer.
She gets paid no matter
so,
what.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So,
well, it's because they're not sure what they're going to do next step. Are they going to now have it go on Broadway, or are they going to start with a new play? They really don't know yet what they're going to do.
Play. That's the weakest thing for me, is I don't really care. I don't care, and I don't think a Broadway show about Marilyn would be that successful.
You don't think so?
Except they're actually doing it.
The way Marilyn's voice is, I mean, I love Marilyn Monroe, but it's not really a Broadway voice, like, you know.
And well, let's save this for the actual discussion. Next piece of news.
FX is developing a series based on the movie Fargo, which is funny because Fox did a pilot for Fargo years ago, pre-Sopranos with Edie Falco. It was actually kind of good, but it didn't sell. And then the other news, The Office is not looking good for another season. They're planning to spin off Dwight into his own show called The Farm, and the backdoor pilot will be part of this last batch of episodes. And then John Krasinski, Jenna Fischer, BJ Novak, and Ed Helms, three of the four of them have feature careers, so negotiations aren't going really well, considering that the ratings have dropped since Steve Carell left, and Mindy Kaling has a pilot she wrote and starred in for Fox.
So, no new Office next season is what you're telling
which
me.
Which they need to put it out of its
misery. Yeah, I think it's time. Yeah. They tried it without Steve Carell, didn't really work. So they tried, so it's fine.
I mean, at least it's interesting right now with Catherine Tate.
I do like Catherine Tate.
Yeah, so
I do like
she's
her,
the only thing
so
keeping
cool,
me watching at all, really.
And actually, that means if they got rid of that, does that mean we could have Parks and Community at the same time?
Maybe.
Since right now they seem to be... Like not
you can't have them
yeah,
in the same universe.
On the same night, like so, I'd be happy if that happened because I love both those shows. So
the interesting thing is, if you look at the ratings, NBC is really in the toilet. I mean,
they have been for a while.
I mean, really, like below basic cable numbers.
Oh, I know.
Smash's last episode was over 9 million viewers. Meanwhile, Awake's first episode was 6 million, and some of their comedies are around 4 million.
So what's a good number for a network?
CBS has 20 million.
Well, CBS number one?
Yes.
Well, okay, so they're...
I'm just saying.
So what's the range then? 22, like what would you say?
It used to not be down to what NBC...
What's CW?
Oh, that's
CW
even
doesn't
less.
Care.
CW is a network.
No, no, CW
it is,
doesn't
is a net
care.
Let.
No, no, not just that.
Lit.
Yeah.
Yeah, CW, when I get their press releases, they never mention Nielsen ratings. It's always DVR and online. They never mention Nielsen. They know where their people come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, their Nielsen ratings are like 1 to 2 million.
So you're saying technically...
And every once in a while, they'll have like 3 million.
Yeah, they don't get very high numbers at all.
What about ABC and Fox?
They're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
American Idol is still...
Oh, American Idol has gotten lower.
It has.
Lower.
Yeah,
but that's
beat it a couple times already.
But that's...
I think
yeah,
so,
right.
yeah. yeah, but that was like... I mean, they used to get like 40 million or something crazy like that.
So even their lower is still worth
doing.
They're
lower.
Show.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, you have your piece of news, though.
Okay, I have two pieces of news. One is that the Emmys went to the producers of American Horror Story and said, what would you like to go up for? Would you like to go up for... drama, or would you like to go up for miniseries? And they're like, well, there's nobody else up for miniseries, let's go there. So they are going up for miniseries, which I don't understand at all, because that means that everything that got canceled after the first 13 episodes should be a miniseries, but what do I know?
Although, like we said, Downton Abbey, I guess last time, was for miniseries, and that is a seasonal show. So there is a precedent for this. This has happened before.
Yeah, but it seems like a bad precedent.
Perhaps. Yeah. But just saying, it wouldn't make it wouldn't make Horror Story the first to do this.
No, it just seems like the timing on it is weird. Like for Downton Abbey, they knew when they made it, Fellows. It's like they thought it would be a one-off anyway.
And actually,
I always
thought Downton was a miniseries. So
In England though, they didn't know they were going to make a second series of it. So, it just did so well though. Right. So with this one, it was almost like, oh, after the fact. It's like going to school and being able to choose your grade afterward. Do you want credit or, you know, a letter grade?
It is a little weird.
It's like, it's the timing.
We don't let them do that anymore.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, that was back in the day. But it was like that. Yeah, so it is interesting that they came and said, well, how do you want it? So
is that all the news we have?
And the only other thing I was going to throw out is, because we always talk about Nielsen's and who's doing well and what's not doing well, CW has started advertising that they are putting their shows online the next morning. When you watch their TV shows now, they brag about how, hey, you want to talk on Facebook during the show? And by the way, it's going to be online tomorrow morning. It's on their web. Their site free.
And they have an application too.
Well, it's free on Hulu too.
Okay, but they've got an app, they've got whatever it takes. The point is that people complained, like Vampire Diaries, it could be a week before it was online. Now
that's true.
They're trying to prevent piracy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they can see more numbers. The other thing I was going to bring up is that I just read from somebody who has just gone to work for a major company that takes the numbers from TiVo. And a lot of the studios behind the scenes are taking the DVR numbers. They are working AT&T. They are actually turning over their DVR numbers to TiVo and a few other companies so that they're going to come up with over 800 million people, which they feel will actually give a little bit better feel of what people are really watching rather than those 2,000 people or 5,000
the
Nielsen's are doing.
Actually, before we start with the shows, I forgot one thing I wanted to talk about real quick before we get into the shows.
You know us, right?
This is quick. I'm making an announcement, which is The Killing is coming back next week. And
is that a cricket I hear chirping?
And who cares?
Exactly. I just read a review, and the reviewer has seen the first 2 hours because it's a 2-hour pilot. And basically, the network says we will find out the killer at the finale of season 2.
Oh,
and her comment was basically like, so everything I watch until then is a red herring and it doesn't matter. So what's the point? And she said the acting is still really good.
The acting's good.
And she also was talking about the backlash from social media was incredible for the show, bigger than anything she'd ever seen.
And so instead of revealing it in the first couple of episodes, like they said last
and
year,
starting a new case,
they're going to wait.
What they should have done
till the end of.
They're going to wait till the end of season 2. All I'm doing, I'm letting you know this ahead of time, so you cannot waste your time.
Oh, I already deleted
this. Let's talk about the first show, which is the finale for Walking Dead.
And
I warn you, we are on a timer, so go.
Well, actually, Walking Dead, opposite of The Killing, I'm a huge fan of the comics, as everybody knows, and that's like the best episode of Walking Dead I think I've seen, except for maybe the pilot. Everything I wanted, I mean, you and I have been talking, I was like, they better end season 2 with that thing.
X,
they better show that thing.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah!
But I have to ask, though, in the comics, is Lori complete fail?
She's a very. She didn't really have her Lady Macbeth scene like they did in this.
Yeah. Where she told him to kill.
But she's always very much. Right? But she is always kind of annoying in the like, I can't believe you're going out again. I can't believe. Yeah, kind of like that.
I thought some of the monologues that Andrew Lincoln had were just amazing in this episode.
Yeah.
And especially the one where it's close on him and you see her in the background and you see her go through this range of emotions.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
where he was like,
lady, you told him to kill
him
a couple of episodes ago.
Thank you.
He's telling you who he did it, and now you're up.
Well, and he's telling her why he did it, not just because she suggested it anyway, but he's saying, look, my life was in danger. We have to worry about that kid.
She's completely
shocked.
She's
sitting there like,
what are you doing?
I can't believe you. How horrible. Like, did you have amnesia or something?
The only small defense, because I hated her too. The only small defense I give her is she sat there and listened to him and didn't really react until she heard that Carl was the one who had to shoot his zombie version. Like, once she found out Carl had to do it, then she got upset.
Which, no. If you go back and look at the monologue, she looks a little, but she turns away from him at that moment. But she goes through a whole range of emotions. I mean, the thing that's brilliant about that scene is television is, obviously is a close-up medium, but it's not a monologuing medium.
Right.
And the way that they kind of cover that is you clearly see in the background her reaction.
Right.
Going through this.
Which makes it like a dialogue.
Right.
It was brilliant.
It was, but I'm saying her actual turning away. Like, every point that he gets, she reacts, but she's like, okay, I can live with that. Okay, maybe I can live with that. Like, she was kind of going, but once she found out that Carl was the one who had to shoot him, then she was like, I can't.
And evidently in the comics, it's the reverse. Carl kills human Shane.
Yeah, it's awesome. Right.
And
he kills zombie Shane. Yeah, and I'm fine with that.
Why would they have kept that? Because that sounds like
I'm wondering if it's just because it's a child and it's a television show.
Right.
They just thought it was too graphic. Well,
have you watched TV lately, by the way?
I know. Worried about graphic stuff.
I know. And this weekend we have a movie coming out with kids killing children.
So, but anyway,
really, it should be fine.
Which made a buttload of money.
It did. And I saw it.
It deserved it. I've seen it twice.
There you go.
But, like, yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of the comic, and I really had a hard time with the show because while I do think the acting can be good and I like the setting, it's always hard if same thing you have with True Blood. I mean, it's hard if you are familiar with the material and then they take it in directions that you're like, well, this isn't better than the material. It's okay if they make better changes, but in this case, I was like, but I was so happy the way it resolved and stuff. So
I liked his speech to the group.
Oh yeah,
that's the thing that really solidified how happy I was, because for me, I felt like, even though I like the actor playing Rick, I felt like the character of Rick has been somewhat like reeled in, because basically he had to be the good guy.
He was the white guy.
Shane. Yeah. And in the comic, he's
good,
not
bad guy.
Right. In
it's
the comic, he's more like he now is in the finale, which is what I like. Yeah. I like him being more gray.
I think I read somewhere that someone was like, yay, Rick finally got a pair. You know, really, because here he is, like, everyone's like, lead us.
Democracy.
So finally he's like, you know what, people, all this time you've wanted me to lead you, guess what?
I'm doing it right now.
So I gotta ask, for anybody who hasn't read the comic, what do you think that last shot is?
I have no idea.
It's a prison.
Wait, are you saying that? Well, I
do you know or you
but
guess?
But are you saying that because
it's a prison? It looks. I've seen movies before.
Okay, thank you. I was like, that's why. Obviously,
because for me, I was like, well, I know what
tell.
It is.
Yeah,
it
was
a
prison.
Because you said there's barbed wire.
Yeah,
and
the tower.
There's a tower. And so,
but that's the building. But who the hell has the zombies on the leashes? What the heck was
that?
She's
fantastic. She's one of my favorite characters.
And people
were
so
happy.
That's bringing
wild
it to her.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Okay.
Like, so.
Let's try one at a time.
And I don't think we have to worry about volume.
Especially for beer.
No, I'm just saying, all three of you cannot talk at the same time.
Interesting that they've only now just cast who's playing her, because she's got like a
hood.
Yeah, you can't really tell.
She's from Treme.
She's from Treme, and Treme is a really good show, so I'm like, all right, well, they got a good actress, so. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so iconic with the samurai sword. I was like, yeah! Like, so, yeah, I can't wait.
Viva the Rictatorship.
All right, so.
Wait, is that going back to Halloween? Is that when we get
yes.
it?
Yes.
I was just going to ask when.
Yes.
No,
yes.
No, not next
week. And a new season starts in April.
They have to film it.
All right, wrapping up. Next up is Once Upon a Time. And this week's episode was... I don't remember.
Oh, it's the one where Snow escapes from jail.
And the kid talks to the mysterious writer. I have just come up with a really bizarre idea, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong at this point. But there was the conversation he has, the writer guy, I don't even remember his name.
Augustus something.
Whatever. He has with the kid. I was like, is he the kid from the future? Like, it just kind of occurred to me for some reason.
Do you think they'd go that?
I don't know. It's a sci-fi show. Why not? I don't know. It just occurred to me, just the way they were talking to each other.
I thought that also. But yet, I was hoping not, because it was too easy. But then again, the show.
Also,
it
would be really... I just remembered... Never mind. I scratched that because he's trying to date the mom. So, never mind.
That would be weird.
That would be really weird. Because I was like, he went on a date with Emma. So, I was like, ew. I scratched that idea. But it was still an interesting conversation he had with the kid. And I think that Mary Margaret escaping from prison was stupid. And I think that was a stupid storyline. It was dumb. Like, somebody mysteriously hands you a key to the prison. You've been set up for the murder in the first place. You know all the evidence has been planted. Then all of a sudden, a key for the prison cell just appears. You're still being set up. You know? Well, so you know, it just felt dumb.
There's something about this, and I was reading an article about it, so it showed that we weren't the only ones thinking this. The people are kind of dumb. Was the spell that was cast on them to make them stupid too? Because even though the men are extremely stupid, the women aren't much better. So for a show that's supposed to have some strong female characters, they're idiots. I don't know if I would want my child to watch this show. Mm-hmm. And yes, the best parts of the show are in the other universe. That's much more interesting, though it was still stupid. Oh, I don't remember him, so I now have no love in my heart.
Oh my God,
kill me now. Just kill me, okay? Again, if it wasn't for Jane Espenson and you guys, I would have stopped this thing a while ago.
I asked the guys, and I was very polite and kind of, it's like, dudes, you know, why are the guys such wusses? And they said it's part of the curse. But seriously?
The writer said that?
Yeah, the writer said that.
They need to actually tell us that. Because if they don't actually explicitly tell us that the curse is making people dumb, then I'm just going to be like, I mean, are all these people just dumb?
The more formal way they put it was that David can't, because of the curse, David can't be the hero that Charming was.
Right. Okay.
And so he's not at that point yet. This show frustrates me. And what I did like about the show was Emma going to Mr. Gold saying, I need your help. The only time I've gone against Regina and won was when I teamed with you.
Good point.
So I'm back. And you still kind of wonder, did he kind of orchestrate this? I don't think he orchestrated this. I still want to know what his end game is.
Oh, that's...
And there's something... There's obviously bad blood between him and Regina.
Obviously, right.
But there was bad blood, if you remember, way at the beginning when he was in the jail cell in the other universe. And he warned her. He said, you know, it's going to change, but it's not the way you think it's going to change. At that moment, I knew he was going to keep his memories, that he was more powerful than her. He was going to let her do this, see how it went. He wants to bring everything back the way it was. But with him in charge. Absolutely.
Right.
Evidently, in next week's episode, or I guess tonight's episode, we're supposed to find out what happened between... We're eventually supposed to find out what happened between Snow and Regina that makes her hate her so much.
I don't actually care.
Yeah.
I mean,
truthfully,
I
don't, but...
The only thing I care about is what happened to Mr. Gold's lady friend.
Yes,
because she's in the mental hospital.
Yeah, that I want to know.
That was
that's interesting. And anything dealing with Mr. Gold is interesting.
Yeah,
and I'm just tired of Mary Margaret. It's so like they've overused her.
I think she's tired of Mary Margaret. Seriously,
I mean she seems
bored when she's doing her character. When she's she's better. I've seen her on Big Love. And I'm watching her acting, and it's crap.
Yep.
All right, let's negativity down. All right.
Yeah, but we'll still watch it next week.
Next up, we're going to talk for the first time, I believe, about The Good Wife. Ooh. Because we actually have two people in the room.
No, I don't watch the show.
Okay.
See, this is what you get for whispering behind.
I've heard it. He didn't whisper. Look,
I've seen the pilot.
I didn't whisper to him.
Wait, I got to start over. All right. Next up, we're going to talk about, for the first time, The Good Wife. And because we actually have two people in the room who have watched it. So should we be watching The Good Wife?
You should be watching The Good Wife.
And why?
It's well produced, well written, well acted. And the way it kind of transcends a typical courtroom drama is you have the personal story. It's thinly based on the case of the Elliot Spitzer story. What if Mrs. Spitzer was an attorney?
Right.
And goes back. I mean, the pilot episode starts with the press conference.
Yeah.
And shows you what you didn't see at the Spitzer press conference with the wife slapping the husband.
Right.
But there's a lot of great interpersonal dynamics, great cast. And one cool thing about the legal cases is they usually find a way to twist them to make them interesting. So it's just not the typical, aha! We have the last surprise witness or whatever.
So quickly talk about the episode this week.
Well, the episode this week had to do with a ex-hockey player who had brain damage because of playing hockey. No kidding. But more than that...
Well, they get into that because he was suing the snowmobile company because there was a defective snowmobile and his wife died.
And the snowmobile company was trying to say is that because of his playing hockey, because of his brain damage, is why he didn't stop the accelerator on the snowmobile and why he went straight to a tree. I don't know. Somehow I think that wouldn't have been it. But anyway, it was very interesting because she was up against a attorney who she's been up against before, played by
Michael J. Fox.
He's brilliant.
He's brilliant. He uses his Parkinson's with the jury, with the judge. I mean, he's really good. And he has constantly been trying to woo her over to his law firm because he sees how fantastic she is because she wins against him. And he really wants her to move over there. But it's interesting how they handle it, the politics involved, how the hockey league gets involved, how, what's the name of that actor?
Fred Dalton Thompson playing a thinly veiled version of himself.
Very thin. But also as an actor who is a lawyer who could or could not help them. And just the twists and the turns. And I'm actually not going to give away the last 5 minutes, which was wonderful. What I like is that everything is written very good and acted very good. The home life, the children, her as a mom, her as a lover, her as a wife. Everything about it is just really well written. It's the anti Once Upon a Time.
No,
and she did win the Emmy for best lead.
Strong female, strong female role models in all respects, and done very well without emasculating any of the males. Very well done.
Okay. Now you have heard it from here. Next up, let's talk about Smash, which is a show that I have given up on and think is trash.
You only saw one, the pilot, right?
Yes.
And you yourself will admit that pilots are not always the best judge of a show.
Are you telling me it has gotten spectacular and I should watch it?
Here's my...
No, I am not. But I do like it, though. I mean, I've stuck
but
with
I
it.
Didn't like which... The things you liked about the pilot, I didn't like.
No, you did like some of the musical sequences.
I liked one.
Oh, okay.
Well, here's my problem with Smash. Is when they avoid the soap opera cliches and tropes, I think it could be really become something special. But this episode, one of the things that really irked me, I love Bernadette Peters. I've had a crush on her since I was a kid. When she used to recur on McLeod. But, you know, over halfway into the season, we're just finding out that Ivy's mom is this famous Broadway star.
Well, she's trying not to let people know this.
Yeah, but I was okay
like
with that.
People
I would agree
don't
with Marcia,
know...
But...
Her best friends don't know? Oh, come on. I call shenanigans on that.
Oh, well, okay, I see what you're saying about the best friends. I thought of it more you meant
that nobody,
the audience.
That nobody has mentioned it before.
Well, she's kept it very quiet. In theater, that's actually
But all
possible.
all her good friends would know.
See, to me, the best
I don't think
parts,
any of them are her good friends, though.
Well, the ones she's worked with before, that she's been in shows with before, they would know because Mama would have come to those shows.
No, that's the whole point. Mama never went to anything. Mama knocked her. Mama pushed everything down as far as she was concerned.
True.
And her mother admitted she never wanted her to be in the theater. She didn't encourage her at one iota. That's why they didn't know who she was. Not just different names. Her mother made sure she was never involved at all, and she never invited her to anything. In fact, I don't think she even invited her to this.
But,
she just came.
Well, regardless, I mean, I feel like what the show does well, the times I liked the show, and actually this wasn't this episode, was there was an episode where Catherine McPhee is starting to become friends with the rest of the chorus, and they're saying, you know, when you're in the chorus, and you're standing out too much. You realize you're not the lead.
You're not a team player.
And I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. I like that. Those are the things I like about Smash. What I don't like about Smash is Deborah Messing, who I like, and I like her character, I could care less that she's having an affair with the Joe DiMaggio guy. I'm just like, oh, come on.
Hate the whole affair subplot.
I hate that.
They're adopting a baby. Oh, that's not good enough.
Right.
No, she has an affair while her husband's out of town.
Exactly.
And her son
can't. Right. And her son's doing drugs. She wants to adopt a baby. That's already a conflict, you know, and now she's having an affair with an old flame. I'm like, come on. That's where I feel like the show. But I do like the songs. And strangely, I'm not an Idol person, American Idol person. And I didn't really like her in this bad movie, Shark Night. But I actually think Catherine McPhee is okay.
Totally disagree.
Yeah,
I think she sucks the life out of everybody she's in.
See,
I like her.
I don't think so. I like her. I mean, she reminds me of people I knew in New York.
I mean, her that one where she goes back home.
Oh my gosh.
That was terrible. That's not her fault.
That's the the Jump the Shark episode.
It is terrible. Like, three episodes. Four, you're just all, you know, you're all well, I you Will know, Grow
let,
or whatever.
Let me throw it this way. You know, people watch Glee, and to me, that's utter crap. And
no, they don't. Not anymore.
Well, not anymore.
And remember, our first season Glee, there's a lot of good episodes first season. There are. So you have to compare first season. You do. That's to be fair. You have to, but, all right.
Okay.
The first 13.
Sure.
But the thing
we're not at 13.
But the thing
Smash,
is this. So. I look at Smash as a little bit of brain candy. I enjoy
brain
it.
Brain candy?
Yes. Yeah, really? You know, it's a little brain candy. Not that it's I'm going to get smart from it. It's
that's
candy.
What,
it's
okay.
sweet.
That kind of
thing. I just I watch it and I go, oh, this is cute. And it's just, it's an hour or 45 minutes of just fluff. Calm and fluff that I'm willing to watch again and again.
All right.
Yeah, and I like it too. I just don't. All right. Yeah, I don't love it, but I still watch it. Go ahead.
Done. All right, moving on. I don't know what you can come from that discussion, like whether or not they liked it or not. That's
I'm
up
still
to you guys.
It, so,
all right. Then next up, we're going to talk about Castle.
Now let's talk about brain fluff. Yeah. I'm telling you, Nathan.
I still don't understand
that's
how
it.
This show is still on the air.
It's Nathan good. I like it.
Are you kidding?
I love
I like
the show,
him, but I don't. It's just
right. It is a throwback.
I'll say this: I started watching. Libby's
the Mentalist.
Show, The Mentalist, it blows that show away. Like, and there's no question.
They're not in the same
they
league.
They are in the same they, league. It's another... It's
the Mentalist is far superior.
Well, yeah, that way... In that way... Seriously. Yes, in that way, Libby is right, yes. But meaning, it's another here's his character, here's
the
female
it's Castle
lead,
is
here's
fun.
Some kind of mystery going on. Like,
Castle
is
fun, The Mentalist is much better.
They're not...
Totally.
They're not in the same... They're not even shooting really for the same audience.
No, they're not. They're...
It's similar, though. There are some similar things.
I think of Castle more as like a throwback to a Remington Steele-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Lighting, yeah, but The Mentalist is too, a little bit.
No,
because...
isn't The Mentalist more like a Murder, She Wrote, where there's actually a reason and existence and a mystery and there's an ending?
Wait,
and
there's not mysteries on Castle?
Yeah. Not that kind of mystery.
The Castle mysteries are so...
Are goofy.
Like,
they are
like
goofy.
Scooby-Doo paint-by-numbers.
Yeah. 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 paint-by-numbers. Oh, that's pretty good. Because, I mean, there you know, whenever you watch a Castle episode, you automatically...
The first one...
You always know, always know who the killer is. That's never a mystery. Yeah. So if you're watching Castle for the mystery, you're watching the wrong show.
And you know, in Castle, okay, you know, he's going to be cute and quirky.
Yeah.
She's going to be like the tough cop making the tough calls. They've got the duo going out doing their bit as like the slapstick half the
and
time. This time it was the ring, you know.
They're getting more slapstick than
seriously.
They ever were before.
I know, the ring this time.
We haven't seen
then,
the captain in a
but
while
then
and we
the,
haven't missed her.
Exactly.
I heard
and then there's
a
the
big
mom,
episode with her coming up.
And then the mom is in there all the time. You just have to know that she's going to be in there doing her little...
Castle's
like,
her daughter too, right?
No, yeah. So
and she's
it's,
interning for the coroner.
You just know that it's going to be... it's. Yeah. It's got its beats.
It's
the first
enjoyable.
One they suspect is never the one
but
it is. Surprise.
Would
you know,
any
it's...
of you guys have ever even watched this if it wasn't Nathan Fillion?
No.
All right. So, I mean, really, it's because you... No, there's nothing wrong with that. It's because you like Nathan Fillion.
Well, I know.
That's
but
fine.
But I'm like, he has enough charisma
to
carry
the show. Okay. Yeah. And that's fine.
It's a throwback to classic TV where these are friends that are coming
they'll
to your
solve
house
the mystery at the
right.
end.
Right. Totally nothing wrong with that.
Comfort food.
That's fine. That's
yeah.
Not, it's
and
not
and
great or anything.
I didn't say it was great. It's fun. It's a fun
it's
show.
It's a fun show.
And
see, but that's how I feel about Smash. Is it's a fun show.
we're not talking about that. We're past that show. Moving on.
So how was this week's Castle?
Anyway, yeah.
Thank you. Good comeback.
It was a Dancing with the Stars spoof.
Yes.
And the funniest joke in the whole thing, the host is one of the red herrings. He plays one of the kids' dads on Secret Circle. But he's like, you know, he's a suspect. And like, I didn't want to end up like Brian Dunkelman.
And she's like, who?
It's like, who's Brian Dunkelman? It's like, exactly.
So that was him making his case. But yeah, it was an interesting episode. I have to say, it was a little... It actually kept my interest more than the past episodes have for a while. Because as I'm multitasking while I watch Castle, because it is that kind of a show.
Yes, it is.
I actually stopped for what I was doing and just went, oh, interesting. Now, I'm not really sure who it's going to be. Because it was this whole thing about like a double, like a twin potentially. And the rich girl.
Oh,
and
right.
The
that
girl.
Was actually pretty good.
It was good. Yeah, exactly.
That was pretty
it was
good.
That actually kept my attention more to think, well, you know what? Even I'm with them. I'm not really sure how this was pulled off or who
right.
did it,
well,
so.
Because the whole mystery is the fact that the girl that they think is dead is actually not the girl that they think is dead. That yeah. girl actually died a year before.
It's like the doppelganger
thing. And someone was impersonating her for the last year.
Yeah.
And so the question is, did they kill her because they thought she was the original girl, or did she get killed because of who she actually was?
And somebody knew, you know.
Yeah.
So,
so that was actually pretty good.
Yeah. So
it's
was
like,
a little
it's like Mrs. Winterbourne.
Yeah, yeah. So this episode in particular, I think, was better than or at least it was more engaging.
Yeah, because I didn't know who did it.
And the twist that the dead rich girl was using Country Mouse to do her community service.
It was basically Country Mouse. Right. Yeah. It was basically a really rich girl got drunk and got all this community service and didn't want to do it. Yeah, and so she finds this poor stripper and has plastic surgery on her so she looks just like her to do her community service for her. But then there's a train accident and the rich girl dies and then the poor girl's like,
takes her identity.
Free money. Ooh. And just takes her identity and takes over her life. And so it was like, oh, she changed and the train crash made her see new light and become a new person. Yes, she
literally
became a new person.
Wasn't there that movie or Summersby or whatever where
there's probably a
person comes back.
Winterbourne was one of the most famous ones.
Yeah, they've done this. It's not brand new.
Yeah, it's a Trump, but they did it.
But for Castle,
exactly. They made it work with Castle, except for the whole B story about the guys in the ring and the whole thing.
Yeah. Whatever.
Oh my god.
But
anyway,
wrapping up, it was fun. It was a fun episode. Lots of, you know, Castle-y things.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, let's talk about Justified.
Wait.
One thing I have to say at the start, Neil McDonough knocked this out of
totally
the park.
Did. Yeah, he did.
This episode was his.
Just,
he owned it.
Yeah,
for your consideration.
Yes. This is his Emmy.
Oh,
this is his
he
Emmy
was
up.
So good. Yeah. Like.
So now you need to watch Boomtown, where he's fantastic. He's a series regular on that show, and
he's always good. Not like that guy.
You should watch him on Boomtown. All right, that's all I'm gonna say.
What can I say? My favorite shot of the whole episode, the foreplay between Raylan and the barkeep.
That was good. Yeah.
Was awesome.
Oh, when they were talking about the speech and stuff. Right.
And then when Quarles and
That was great.
His flunky come in. I mean, this show is a modern day Western.
And
everything about.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And then in the name of the episode, man walks into a bar.
But just everything about this episode was.
Just so you know, one of these days I'm going to kill you. And
he said,
shoot, I'll just get this over right now. I'm like, whoa! Awesome.
And then there was this scene when he and the barkeep were making love. And you see the light coming through
the bullet hole in the floor.
Right. Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And they did it from ground level. So it was like, now you know, because I think somewhere that's going to be important. Now you know exactly where his room is.
Right. that was all really good. And I liked, because Neil McDonough had like scenes with everybody. It was basically, he did a tour of Harlan County.
He sees the sheriff. He sees the kid from True
Blood. The one I'm actually talking about is him and Boyd Crowder. They had a great scene.
Oh, too, Boyd. Yeah, that's great. Don't let the door hit you on your way out.
Right. He's like, we're giving you a gift. We're giving you your life.
Yeah.
You're out of town.
Yeah. But I just love...
keep thinking that he's going to do this. That he's going to put his arm up and have Travis Bickle's
spring-loaded
gun. Yeah.
Yeah. You always think he's going to draw the gun.
Yeah, yeah.
I just love how the whole episode is built around Raylan testifying to keep Dickie in jail. And so everything in the episode is built around him trying to figure out what he's going to say. And then when he finally gets up there,
he just messes up.
He'll just end up back in jail or dead.
Well, I don't understand why Dickie wants to get out. If I was Dickie, I'd be like, jail
is
good.
Seriously. You need to be in jail because Boyd is coming after you.
But he doesn't know.
Yes, he does.
He should know.
He thinks that What's-His-Face is going to protect him.
Limehouse.
He thinks Limehouse is going to protect him.
That's true.
But Limehouse has pissed away a lot of money from the family.
There's a moment where they're at the bar, and the guy who's usually in the wheelchair says to Boyd, you don't think D's that stupid, dude, that he'd come back to Harlan. He's like, yeah, you know, I do think he's that stupid. So that's part of it, too.
Dickie is not a smart man.
So even if he does think Limehouse might protect him, he's just not a brain trust.
Because they talked about how when he comes and he's on the bridge, they want to kill him while he's on the bridge.
Yep.
Right. Everybody wants to kill him.
That's why you're
right.
Stay in prison.
everybody misses him.
He's what Bobby Singer on Supernatural would call an idiot.
He is an idiot. The definition.
Yeah.
But I will say that final talk with the guy who's the boyfriend, whatever you want to call her, the friend of the hooker, who got killed
before the hustler.
The hustler. Mm-hmm. who he himself, I don't think, is a hustler, but he's dead now.
Well, he's actually, changed. The preview shows him not dead.
Yeah.
The preview shows him I
fast. But he's about to be very badly raped in that bathroom. That's all
so
I can
say. Alive? But
yeah, they show him
when
the preview.
When he closes, you think he's dead.
Well, he's, go- oh, that yeah, he's going to be.
Well,
just getting
well,
started.
Well,
yeah. He's getting some Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Where the other one, where the first guy was killed and he was tied spread eagle to a bed. Or, yeah. This time he's tied.
Like a toilet?
To a toilet.
A toilet with his ass sticking out. So I wasn't too sure what was happening, but when he was talking about his growing up and
his father, and watching
his the flunky, his face.
She's
you know
like,
that,
that explains everything!
Because you know, when he's the voice of reason, oh my God. And he has now become so much the voice of reason while he's watching the train wreck go around him.
Yeah, I always think for poor Win Duffy, he's just like, I've got to get out of this. Which is why, and I think the episode before, that's when Raylan comes to Win Duffy and he's just like, he's basically telling him, you need to leave this guy. You need to get away from this.
Yeah,
you
know, and he says he can't, but yeah, in a way that, like, again, that talk was, oh my, I love the writers for this show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
you know, you were saying before that, Tom, that television is not a monologue medium. Mm-hmm. Oh, but Justified just blows that thought right out.
True,
yeah.
Everyone is
really
my
good monologue.
Yeah.
That show. Yeah, that's true.
But they do it. They do
most
it well.
Most people can't do it. But
yeah.
It takes great writers and they've
great
got it.
And good,
so
great actors.
Left?
Yeah, it's just
yeah,
coming to a close. But it's
man, it flew by.
Yeah,
I'm really surprised. Like we're already done.
I like as much as, you know, I happen to remember the days of 39 episodes. Oh, God, I was a kid. I swear I was a kid. Yeah, and you never knew if you'd ever see a show again on repeats because there wasn't enough time. And then we're down to 22 and at 13, you know, people complained about how it was shortening it. And they're just saving money. I think it's really making certain shows much better.
Well, Game of Thrones is only 10.
Yeah.
It's tight. It's tight. It's marvelous. And, oh my God, I love this show.
The only downside to it being short is that when you have a show, like we were just saying earlier with Walking Dead, now I feel like, oh, I've got to wait so long to get back to it. That's all.
As long as we don't wait as long as Mad Men, we're all okay.
All right.
Which is tomorrow.
All right. So,
oh, tonight. Sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thumbs up for Justified.
Thumbs and a few other body parts.
Yes. Next up is the finale of Southland. And I have to say, this was weird because it felt like a series finale and not just a season finale.
It was really strange. I wonder if they just didn't have faith it would be coming back because the critics are like, please bring this back.
It was fantastic.
But it kind of worried me because I was like, is that... They're playing the Rolling Stones song and you're focused on the character that we've been watching, the OC guy, and he's now changed.
Sherman.
Pool, and I was like, is this the end of the show?
And
like, yeah.
John's got a new
partner. Right.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah.
He's got a new rookie.
But they did that at the beginning of this season also. He ended up with a new partner.
No. He got a new rookie, just like how the show started. The show started with him getting a new rookie, and basically it shows the growth of that rookie to now he's actually become a corrupt cop. So you saw that whole journey. And now he's got a brand new rookie.
And I think either way, even if the show does come back, I'm pretty sure Lucy Liu is
gone.
It sounds like she's
gone.
So she signed up for one season.
She's right.
Because she's promoted, so she's technically out of our world now.
She's supposed to be Watson in that CBS Sherlock pilot.
Yeah.
Oh, so she's gone.
Oh, the one that...
I liked her, actually. I thought she was good on
Southland.
She did
a very good job. And, you know, the last moment is you see him get into the car, you know, and with his new rookie. And on the keychain is muzzle.
Brilliant.
I mean,
brilliant.
It's the
orange tip of the toy gun.
Oh. Right.
She threw it at him.
That she stole from the crime scene.
Yes.
Okay, because, you know, the question is when you are an addict, when you're in AA or NA, you know, you can't fix everybody else even though you want to. And you have to just fix yourself and you learn limitations you never knew you had. He has learned a huge amount of his limitations. He could have blown it out. He could have made it so that she was off the force and all kinds of stuff. But he had to realize, you know, that's her path to go. And he has to take care of him because of what will happen to him otherwise. I thought that was a really great moment. He's come a very, very long way.
He would have been screwed, though, if he turned her in.
Oh, absolutely.
No.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He would have been persona. And I really like that I liked how they handled what it was that Tang did. Because it is a thing that as an audience member, even I think even he says it, he's like, just go and explain to them. This is not that big a deal. She just did. Do that.
Right.
You know? Even if she had shot the kid and left the orange thing on, it still would have been like, this is a mistake, it happens.
Right.
But she didn't. And it was right. like, ugh, you know. She concealed it.
On purpose, because she was going to be a sergeant, because she wanted the sergeants.
More than anything.
She was just too afraid that it was going to mess up.
I don't even think it would have messed her up, though.
It might not have.
Because
she was afraid it was
going to. Right. Because the mom even said that kid had a history of running around with that gun. Right.
Well, technically she doesn't know it at that point, though.
Right.
So
no, she doesn't. But I like everything, you know. You've got a bit of, like you said, a wrap up of the story about the cop whose parents.
Oh, and Regina King. We got to talk about her.
Yeah. Lydia.
And
so that's all wrapped up now.
Oh, with the father. Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Now we know who the father is.
We know who the father is for sure.
That's so weird because.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be the guy that I've been watching lately.
On season three.
I thought it was going to be
partner's daughter.
Yeah,
that's who I thought it was going to be.
That would have made more sense.
Yeah, but now I didn't know who this person is. Yeah,
we've never seen him before. He was on a different TV show.
Yeah, I was about to say he was on The Shield.
Yeah.
So I was confused.
And evidently he's married. I'm like, it would have been cleaner if they had made it the son of...
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I'm trying to figure out where the hell it came from. Because she had been dating her partner's son. Then she's got a new partner. And I'm sorry, but the time didn't quite work. When did she have a guy... And then have enough time to get pregnant. I mean, even a one-off.
Don't even worry about it. The whole thing is they wanted an explanation of why she never told the father. And it makes more sense now when you know that he's married. That's why she never told him.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just, at least I got an actor that I like. So if they need to see him again, we're fine.
Because I'm really afraid they're going to... Something bad was going to happen to Regina King.
Yeah.
Because her boss is like...
And the previous...
You know, I did not know. You know, if something happens, I didn't know. I'm like, something's going to happen to her.
And the previous episode ended did not happen either.
Yeah. Yes. I wanted to say, as a Angelino, I was so happy that... there's, you know, a lot of the joy of watching Southland, if you live in the area, is recognizing things. Going, I've been there.
And everything's in the right place.
Yes, and when Sherman goes to visit his partner, he brings him my favorite deli. He brings him Langer's, which they're always in that area, which is off like Wilshire and Alvarado. And I was like, he brought him Langer's. Like, as a fan, I was just like, oh, it's so cool that they actually, because they're always in the area. They're always brought, I was like, oh, that's so cool. So
now you're going to go to Langer's and think of Southland.
I love that place.
Theme songs.
That's the weakest part of the show.
All right, wrapping that up. Yeah. That was a very good finale, and I really hope that show comes back.
Yeah, I really hope it comes back.
All right, next up, we're going to talk about Psych for like 5 seconds. Only thing, I feel like they did this episode specifically so that they could use the theme song that they had Boys to Men record. Because they had a special theme song like last season because they were doing this a cappella group called Quarter Black.
That's Sean's
name for it. Yeah, it was something black something. And it was four guys singing. And they had Boys to Men basically do the end. Because the one cool thing about Psych is when they do a special episode, they do special... titles, like the intro titles are totally different.
Twin Peaks was probably my favorite.
So they had Boys to Men record their opening song, which is really great. And I felt like, oh, they just did this episode so they can use that song again. So this one was, it was probably the best one they've had since they've come back, because the other ones kind of sucked. But this one was actually really entertaining.
You didn't like the Bachelor takeoff?
Everything for every episode of Psych up until this one has been trash, truthfully.
Okay.
I generally like the show, but I've been really disappointed this season.
I just haven't been digging this half of the season.
Yeah, it's been really bad.
If you didn't like this one, would you watch the next one? But I'm just saying out of curiosity. I mean, if you
probably,
haven't liked it so far.
Probably because
what's keeping you watching?
Because I've watched the show for like 5 seasons, and 3 episodes in a row I don't like does not make me quit a show.
5 seasons. Okay. It's been on more than that.
Oh, however many seasons it's been on, I've been watching and I've enjoyed it. But the last like 3 or 4 episodes have been bad. That's not quite enough to make me quit a show that I've been watching for this long.
Okay.
But I did really like... I thought this one was pretty good. I liked their concert that they gave. Because I was like, wait a minute, he can sing? Like, all of them got up there and sang? And I love the Psych Out. The Psych Out actually just made me fall out laughing. And anybody who knows about the Psych Out is basically... Sometimes they actually use real bloopers for the Psych Out. And sometimes they don't have a blooper or they want to do something cool. They'll actually kind of create their own blooper. And this week's creative blooper was great. So it's just like, anytime Lassie gets up and sings and dances, I'm happy. So Yeah, it was a good episode, even though I like the fact that they did exactly what they did the last week, where the guys got kidnapped. I was like, wait a minute, didn't they do that last episode? And yep. Then Sean goes, hey, didn't they get kidnapped last episode? And I was like, yes, they did. Oh, and they, great use of an iPad for this week's episode. They based, Sean had like
I was wondering, an appendix. Did Rodé have, did he have something going on where they had to do that? Sean.
Sean, I thought his name is James. James Rodé, thank you. I don't know, like, he really had his appendix out or something, but, like, he had to be in a hospital bed the whole time.
So they have him,
like, so he had an, so they had his face on FaceTime. They basically did FaceTime the whole episode. It was pretty funny. Especially when he was like, he's like, I'll guard you from the bullets. And he goes, yeah, if the bullet hits, it's going to go through the pad and hit me. And he was like, oh, yeah. So, like, he was being all brave because he wasn't there. It was pretty funny. And he's like, show me the room. And it was good. I thought, yeah, best use of an iPad I've seen on a show in a while, without possible exception of Modern Family, might have done a better
episode. Oh, well, that's great. Yeah.
That was like...
Anyway, so moving on, Psych thumbs up for the first time in a while. Next up, let's talk about Community.
Yay!
You know, I didn't love it, and I loved it.
Oh!
See? I just couldn't get into it. I don't know. I love the show, but I wasn't loving it. I don't know.
Funniest episode in a while, I think.
Really?
I laughed a lot. I know, but that's just it.
The notion of a star mitzvah, I just think...
That's a great idea. Hilarious.
And that everyone took it seriously at the star mitzvah. Like, that was the
point. Britta being Michael Jackson is really funny. But the thing is,
she kind of looked like him.
I know, that's why that was good. But, like, I don't know, the thing with
I didn't like the Ahmed and Troy breakup.
That didn't work for me. And also the whole Jeff and like how he's so confident now. That sounds really funny.
I thought the Jeff thing didn't work.
Oh, for me, come on, man, at
the
end.
Star mitzvah thing is what.
Yeah, and again, the concept is that's very good.
And I like the Burt Reynolds.
Oh, yeah, I didn't like that.
He's like, I'm Burt Reynolds. No, I don't think you are.
I think in this one, though, I think it's just the idea that again, Britta came in and was weirdly the voice of reason, which shouldn't happen in this universe, but she really was. And so having her come in there and be able to actually guide Jeff and basically say, look, this apple, you know, this is going to happen to you. And it's like, no. And everyone's thinking, well, he's already an arrogant prick anyway, so how could this possibly be a bad thing? And yet it really is. And he's, it's like,
I have a question. Is he really that cut?
Yes.
Holy crap!
Yes. I know.
He's been shirtless before.
Okay, he has, and that, and this was, and Dan Harmon actually said that there was like, he's like, wait for it, ladies, and some guys, he is going to be shirtless again because everyone wanted the pool scene back again from when they were playing pool.
Right.
Dan Harmon's been teasing for a while about a shirtless episode.
He looked like the Hulk version. I know they went with that.
He's always like that. He's, thank God, and so they finally had him take off his shirt. But I just love the idea that Britta actually came in, saw what was happening, and went, oh my God, no, we have to make you humble, and like was throwing everything she could at him, which she would have anyway, but in this there was like a context for it this time,
right.
And I have to say also, I guess I realize at this point that of all the characters there, I think Annie's my least favorite because she had the least part in this one.
Annie's my favorite. That's why part of what bothered me.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Annie and Britta are probably my two that I think if you get them doing something that's funny, like it was season two when they have the save the oil thing.
Oh, and they had the competition.
That was awesome. I love that.
That was good.
Or the one where Annie's pen. Although technically that's the whole thing.
Yes.
But I mean,
everybody did all of them. Yes.
But you're right. She's barely in it.
She was hardly in this one at all, and I didn't miss her.
You don't like Annie, but you still also didn't love the episode.
That's because they messed with my Troy and Abed.
Okay.
I liked the Troy and Abed because they've always been like in sync. And then again, I think it's the whole responsibility thing where Britta like stood up to bat this time and like was the voice of reason in everybody's.
The thing that scares me is Troy
being able to come in and say, you know what, we're good. It's good that we're crazy and we do our fun stuff and we're like out there on the creative edge, but there has to be a line drawn. And that sets it fully up for Evil Abed.
Yeah, that's what I'm not sure. Evil Abed.
I didn't think of that.
I don't really know if I like Evil Abed.
I do. From the end where
And Dan Harmon was commenting on that too.
Evil Abed, that he goes, he's like, oh, I want to go to the special hologram room by myself.
He wanted to be alone. And remember the spaceship at the end?
He does that.
And the spaceship at the end, and there's Evil Abed that's there. He's like, cool,
hot. All right, where are we going to go? We don't need Troy.
So he's basically... So he's evil Abed is now steering the boat, and he doesn't think he needs Troy anymore. Yeah, so and that's bad. I don't like that.
Oh. I think it's bad because it's cool. I mean, it's good.
It's bad. So when you say bad, you mean good.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, it's not
like
they're going
to
keep this forever.
No, exactly.
It'll be something they'll do for a little while.
Yes.
All right. So I thought thumb it was sideways overall for Community.
Thumbs up for me.
I liked it.
Yeah. I got it sideways.
It was no first episode of 30 Rock. No.
Well, okay, and nice segue. We're moving on to 30 Rock. And the first episode.
Two episodes.
And I think the first one is not worth talking about.
Oh my gosh.
Well, okay. I like that actress, but I would agree it's not a very good episode.
Terrible.
I hate that. I like her when she's on Jon Stewart. She's great. When she's on other things, she's great.
All right.
I hated her on
this. I like the idea of kind of just being the evil Abed. I like the idea of giving Kenneth a foil. So I was like, oh,
the idea might be fine.
But no, I agree. The episode's not that good.
I think she doesn't work. I don't think she works on the show.
It's just weird. And they can't figure out which way to take
exactly
her.
Right, that's the problem.
It's like single white female
with Liz right,
this weird counterpart for Kenneth the next week.
She just doesn't work.
I don't understand what her purpose is.
But it's not just that, it's also Kenneth. They don't know what to do with Kenneth
right
now.
That's true.
They keep changing his job every week.
I did like the confession at the end of episode two
where he's like how do you maintain it?
Wake up in the morning and lie to myself.
He's like I don't know how much longer I can do this.
So now whenever he smiles, I'm worried.
Kenneth will snap.
He's like, that's
snap.
True. Yes. That was funny. But the second episode. Oh,
great.
Sorry.
No, I was going to say, and going back a little bit on regarding Kenneth, when not only that, you know, the smile and the concern about what's going to snap. Remember that he also had a thing about, why do you want to know how old I am? And what about my age and all that? Because it was mentioned like last year.
Did he say he also has two mothers or something?
Well, I don't know about that, but he's also... He's extremely old. He just doesn't age. He's like Highlander.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's kind of funny. He's in his own little world, which is why I feel sad that they don't know what to do with him. Yeah. Because he was adorable off to a corner and just being very odd. And you're never quite sure what this rural boy has really got going or if it's in his mind.
I think Kenneth
works best as a Tracy Wrangler.
Yeah. He's great with that.
I would agree.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the second episode, which knocked it out of the park
with great casting.
Billy Baldwin playing the actual Jack Diamond.
That had to have been weird to be on that set.
Brilliant.
That was probably the funniest.
And the scene where Mary Steenburgen comes in and she basically wants to get turned on by him. Tell me something negative about Obama.
And
what
I
do
have
you
to
think
say,
of
my favorite was the Mythbuster joke. Sorry.
She writes Mythbuster
like,
fan fiction.
Sexy or whatever that is. She's like, of course I can. You should, like hot or whatever it was. And she's like, you should see the Mythbuster fiction I wrote or something. Like, oh my God.
What does he say? Prius is another word for, what was it? What was
I don't
joke?
Remember.
I forget it.
But it was, all of that was great. Bad. And Billy Baldwin, their voices are so identical.
Well,
and creepy. It was so weird. It was, I was just like, if I close my eyes right now, it's Alec Baldwin. It's like it's so crazy. But it was great. And then when they're imitating each other,
I will say though, on the flip end, I thought the concept of Jenna trying to not be intimidated by Weird Al and how Tracy's like, you don't want to mess with Weird Al. It's a great idea. But actually, I didn't think
the song was awful.
The song wasn't that good.
I think the payoff should have been funnier.
Except
great concept though.
Except there was even a comment made, you know, don't try it. Gaga lost. But the joke I loved was when he said, "Don't do it." You know, Lady Gaga got zapped by him. I love the idea that she does the song and he's got a parody out before she can even.
Before the movie is.
Yes.
I guess I just wanted more Weird Al then or something like.
But you got him in the closing credits.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
I'm just glad they kind of put the icky Mary Steenburgen thing to rest.
Yes.
Is it to rest?
Well, it seems like it.
Well, because if that was Liz's thing, right? She's like, that's her way
that's her
of foiling
like,
the blocker. Well, that was really
the
good,
blocker.
Too.
Yeah, I am the blocker.
When she's a little girl at her parents' anniversary or something. What do you mean? We're staying up to it? And they're like, that was pretty good.
All right. Thumbs up for the second episode of the
second episode.
Next up is Vampire Diaries, and the only thing that I have to say is the storyline that I hated last week, as predicted, was resolved this week.
It was terrible, so I'm glad they just.
Oh man, I was like the whole Alaric thing. I hated it. I absolutely hated it, and I was like, well, you know.
I never even liked. The whole serial killer thing was always kind of lame anyway.
Yeah,
so
absolutely,
I thought it was kind of a nice twist that it was him.
Nah.
I didn't like it.
Okay, you got to admit that shot of him in the CAT scan.
Well, the evil version.
And the evil version of the mirror. That was kind of freaky.
It was freaky. I just still didn't care. I was bored. The actors. But the bigger deal, though, was more the ending. Because actually, I thought the episode was okay.
Yeah, it wasn't a great episode.
But, you know, we've got this character, and I can't, is it Rachel? What's her name? The redhead.
No, there's Rebecca as the blonde.
Sable or something like that.
Something like that. And I don't really care about her either. The only good thing...
She cares about one of the originals.
Well, the only thing I have to say is I'm really shocked that Damon actually trusted her at all with any information. Like, granted, he figured out a way around her once he realized she betrayed him. But why did he tell her any of the information? Especially if he knew that she was in love with one of the originals. Just like, I don't know. Usually Damon is smarter. Though he did redeem himself by, he was like, look at this.
That's great. The sign out.
Yeah, he was like, I totally sold my rage. And I was like, yeah, you did. Because when it got to that part where it looked like they had burned down the bridge, I was like, we did all that for this? I was like, that makes no sense. But then they have the sign, and then the preview for next week is just like stakes all around. That's going to be great.
And then fans of Jeremy would be happy because he was in for a second.
He had a cameo.
I don't really care about Jeremy. But I know a lot of friends of mine who really like that.
Yeah,
guy,
but
so.
If you're a fan of Jeremy, you're not going to be happy.
What do you mean? He's in the show.
For 5 seconds.
It's still something.
No, it would make me angry.
They're hinting at something because he wants to get off the phone with Elena. It's like, oh, why does he want to get off the phone? Because
he's a teenage boy.
No, I think it's something else.
I don't know, but I do like Jeremy. I wish he was back.
I'm wondering what they're setting up Bonnie's stepbrother to do.
Be a love interest?
Yeah, I think
for
love
Bonnie
interest
or Caroline?
For Caroline.
For Bonnie.
No, for Caroline.
He and Caroline are bonding.
They totally have
her.
For Bonnie, no.
But no, Bonnie's interested in him. He might be interested in Caroline.
I thought he was interested in Caroline.
He might be interested in Caroline. He's interested. But I think that Bonnie likes him. Well, because he very clearly said...
We're not related.
So I was like, oh.
Yeah, he and Caroline were getting on mighty fine.
Yeah.
That could be some conflict right there. Actually, this is probably the first time they've had two women interested in the same guy. Because usually it's like 10 guys with the same
woman.
Named
Elena.
Right.
Yes.
That's true. But yeah, it was okay. But the end makes me go, I can't wait to see this. Because now they've got to basically make a billion... stakes,
right?
Like, you know,
and
that wood.
What's for dinner?
So does it mean you just stab them, or is it the whole? Because remember in the old thing, it's the you stab it and that puts them on pause.
Well, that's the knives, but these can kill them.
So that's it.
This kills them. Yes.
And if you kill one, they all die at the same time.
Yes.
Which is how Mama wanted it.
Right. So now you got the
money. How many episodes got left?
I don't know. What do you? Because
that would tell us.
I know, but what's hilarious is you think that I have this in my head. You ask me this for every show, and I'm like,
I would guess about 6 episodes left.
Okay.
Give or take.
All right.
Because CW usually ends its seasons a little bit earlier than that.
Yeah, they end the first or second week in May, so that's kind of. And they probably don't have any more repeats. You're just gonna pretty much gonna go.
Should be straight on through.
So yes, count the weeks. All right. Next up, let's talk about very quickly this new episode of Awake. Anybody see it? Oh, now Marcia's awake. And the only thing I have to say about Awake, which is weird, last week's episode, some people didn't like it, but I really liked it. I mean, I liked the son being kidnapped and the whole relationship thing. I thought that was all really pretty good. I felt this week was weird because it felt like we resolved the whole tension between the dad and him, and then this week it's like back.
I'm wondering if these episodes are showing an order.
Yeah, because it feels weird.
It feels odd.
Like, that really felt strange.
And I still maintain it's interesting how the son consumes his time and thoughts in both worlds.
Right.
In Rex's world and Hannah's world.
Yeah, he doesn't really care about his wife.
When he's in Rex's world, he's figuring out how to communicate with them. And in Hannah's world, he's still grieving his loss. And we don't see him grieving Hannah in Rex's
world. No, not at all.
But I have no
idea. Except that I feel like the nanny or the coach for the kid, like she's interested in him.
Yes, definitely.
And I think that it would be weird for him because he has to go home to his wife. Like, I don't think he's going to go there. Like, I don't see him starting a relationship in the other universe at all.
No.
Because he goes to sleep and sees his wife. So he's like, that's not going to happen.
No,
but
it's not. But I think that he's not really mourning the loss of his son in the other world. He's doing it for his wife.
Yeah, he's mourning for his wife, and he's also looking for clues. Like, he's asking her questions, And all the questions he's asking are about the son, so he can figure out a way to connect with his son in the other universe. But I agree.
But still, everything is very son-centric.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's good, except that...
Do you think that's deliberate? Like, maybe...
It has to be.
It's gotta be.
It's gotta be. It's gotta be. But I don't know...
But we still don't know why, because in the wife's universe is where the question comes up, was this done... Was the accident on purpose? And he's being manipulated. I'm sorry, his new partner... is one of the dumbest cops I've ever seen.
Well, it's not that he's dumb. I feel like the new partner's sabotaging him. Like, he's... I feel like his job is to sabotage.
I think he's a plant by, you know, the evil captain who's got nefarious schemes.
Right. So it really feels like... It's not that he's dumb. He's deliberately trying to slow him down. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering, like, the son... I feel they really need to get his son over all his anger issues with talking with his dad, because it feels like they've resolved that now and they can't keep going back to that well.
It just felt like they were out of order.
Yeah, it was strange.
And I wonder if they were shown out of order.
But yeah.
Do you still like the show though?
Oh yeah, I do. I do.
I do, yeah. Yeah. No, it's you know, well produced, well acted, well written. Just the little quirks.
Yeah, I just like, because those episodes did feel out of order, I feel like, well, next week's episode, if the son keeps acting like this, that's going to be a problem. But I feel like they've resolved it twice. Mm-hmm. So, okay, moving on. Next up, you wanted to talk about Missing for 5 seconds. Go.
After hearing how it's just a miniseries, that it's not going to be planned to go on and on if it gets good ratings, I now looked at it with a totally different mindset. I looked at it like, it's a movie, and I just get to go watch movie number one, number two, number three, number five, whatever.
Each week.
And, you know, I like it.
I actually went back, because I think the last podcast, I think I said I'd watched half, and I realized when I went back that wasn't true. I watched the first 10 minutes. I really didn't even watch the first half. So now I went back and I watched the whole pilot, and I agree. Looking at it with the eyes of this is a miniseries, I can enjoy it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll check it out then.
So, yeah, that's about it. That's all I want to say about Missing.
That's it.
And similarly, the only thing I want to say about Touch is I've watched the second episode. Apparently, I'm the only one in the room that has. But it's weird because it feels like if you watch the pilot, then you don't need to watch the second episode because it's very similar.
Is it the same episode?
It's not literally the same episode. It's just figuratively the same in that there's some...
They reestablish thing about the sun and...
They don't really reestablish. It's more like... They have to go through the motions of sending the son back to that facility because he escaped at the end of the first episode. And then, but now the father knows that the numbers mean something. So the father's trying to figure it out, but then there's all these things around the world that kind of connect, and it all gives you a nice warm feeling at the end when everything comes together. And I really felt like it wasn't anything new. It felt
This is the guy who did Heroes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So does it feel like he learned his lesson?
It doesn't feel like Heroes was very much an ongoing story that was an arc that crashed and burned. It feels like a procedural in a weird sort of way. It's like each week it's a new case, but it's the same
motion. Well, he's got a smaller cast, right?
Yeah, but it feels like it's very much like he gets a number, the son starts writing this number. It's a different number. The father figures out who he's supposed to help, but he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. And then the son basically leads him by the hand and shows him how to do it. And then there's a couple of things going on around the world that all kind of come together. And it all, like, by the end of the episode, all these people that you're watching will all converge and mean something. And it's usually heartwarming, and I have to give them credit. It was kind of heartwarming.
Okay.
But it felt also a little manipulative heartwarming. So, I mean, if you like Kiefer Sutherland...
I do like Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, and it's not bad, but it's not great either. So, it'd
be interesting to see how the ratings went up.
The ratings went down 10% from last week.
Or did they rerun the pilot?
Was 10% that big of a deal?
Fox, not that big. They said it's still like it still won like its time slot. So,
but it's against.
It's not against much, and everything was repeats. So, anyway, so moving on. Next up, we want to talk about Supernatural.
Oh, Sammy.
And I have to say that I was really looking forward to this episode because it was a Turner Castiel, and I was super super excited.
I sense a big butt coming.
Well, first of all, they start off giving him amnesia, so he doesn't know who he is. Mm-hmm. So Dean runs into him, and he's like, and doesn't tell him who he is, because he needs Castiel's power, because Castiel still has his power. He just thinks he's a faith healer or something. Yep. So he needs Castiel's power to help heal Sam because Sam's literally going insane. He's in he's actually in an asylum.
Yes.
Because Lucifer is
messing with him.
Totally will not let him sleep. It's been like 7 days and he hasn't been asleep.
Yeah.
And 11 is the most anyone's ever survived without sleep.
Right. Yeah. And he got hit by a car and all this other stuff. And so he's really in a bad spot. So Dean is looking for. Oh, and Bobby the Ghost showed up.
Yeah.
That was definitely Bobby the Ghost.
The Bobby. Because
people were wondering.
Whoa.
You got spoiled.
That different Bobby.
Jim Beaver?
Yes. You got spoiled.
Who's been on Justified?
But, yes.
They killed him on
Yes, they did.
Oh.
Yes, you
the
got spoiled.
The one final thread where I thought they couldn't do that to the boys. They couldn't get rid of Bobby. Oh, they got rid of Bobby.
He's for sure dead.
So he's like...
He was shot in the head.
Yeah, he's dead, and it's true. It's
dead.
It's the Bobby wind that is coming through and moving things
around. Yeah, because they had this whole episode where Bobby was getting picked up by a Grim Reaper, and he had a choice between moving on or staying as a ghost.
And where's those Beaver... In the episode?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it's basically like...
Implication is he's
there. So it basically, you draw the conclusion... Because before, you didn't really know if he moved on or not. You were guessing. And now, this is very obviously that Bobby has decided to stay back as a ghost and help the boys. Which I'm just like, really?
I know.
Dude, move on. You've given them so much. I'm just like... Yeah, he's given them so much of everything.
Well, so we get Cass back, who's not really back.
Right.
And I was really surprised because I didn't think that in that first episode of him coming back that they would be like, all right, let's have him even remember who he is, like, and, really quickly.
Yeah,
and
then
it's
just like,
boy, it comes back to him when he's defeating the demons.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So he's back, and the basic setup is this whole thing, where Sam's in the hospital and he's kind of gone cuckoo. But while Lucifer is just like making him even more bonkers and he should be even more tired, he still has the wherewithal to help the girl.
Oh, yeah, he helps her get rid of a ghost.
He's the Hunter of Heart of Gold who, even in his dire need, can stop and pause and help her with her haunting. So, fine, all right. He gets a power bar or something out of that. So then you get the whole thing with Cass and the fact that Meg shows up out of nowhere again in a new incarnation. I don't like this particular actress anyway.
I don't think she didn't work.
They're killing demons left and right who are apparently coming out of the woodwork anyway,
right?
Because they know Cass is back, right? And now they brought them to the hospital where they save Sam and left Cass because that you explain the whole thing at the end because I can't even the transfer.
Basically. The transfer was the dumbest thing I've ever seen and makes no sense. The only reason that Sam is insane is because he was tortured by Lucifer. Lucifer is physically not in Sam's head.
Except maybe not.
Right.
Maybe Lucifer is there.
Incarnate,
but part of his essence, his soul, whatever.
Brought Lucifer back with him?
Yes. Yeah. That was what death did. He put up a wall between the two.
No, he put up a wall between the memories. He just said the wall is the memories of hell, not actually Lucifer.
Lost, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But maybe, okay, because remember they said that when Cass brought him out, he accidentally left his soul behind?
Right.
What if it's possible that part of Lucifer, not the whole thing, but a part of Lucifer, hitchhiked with him?
But that's not what they're insinuating that now. Yeah. But when they originally did it, that's not what they said.
They didn't know what they originally did. Okay, that was the whole thing. They did not
this
know.
Kind
yeah,
of
but Death did know.
I just thought it was kind of a cheesy Deus Ex Machina.
It was. Yeah. It was totally ridiculous.
Like, I'll take on your crazy so you can go out and hunt.
My other point is, say it is Lucifer that got transferred to Castiel. Lucifer's Castiel's brother.
I know, yep.
Why is he afraid of him?
Because they were afraid of him.
No. He very specific. No, they weren't.
Lucifer actually killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Lucifer killed him that first time when they were in
the
field?
That's true. He did, but that's still his brother. It's not going to make him go running up against the wall and go, oh my God, I'm losing my mind. Like, it was ridiculous.
No, but it's still powerful forces.
It was ridiculous, but... Yeah. Then again, what's also weird is now Meg is staying at the hospital.
Yes.
To watch over Cass.
Well, to watch over Cass or to manipulate Cass.
Everybody feels like there's a loose angel that's got all this ability, and so let's take advantage of him. But they stuck him in this insane asylum so that now they can go back and get him anytime they want. The only problem I had, the thing that actually made me angry.
The only thing I had a list.
The thing that made me angry was at the very end of the episode. Where Sam is like, are we just going to leave Cass here? He's like, can we do that or whatever? And he's like, oh, he's safer here. And I was like, no, he's not.
No, he's not.
But then he says something about, well, we can't do that to a friend. He's like, dude, all our friends are dead. And I was like, dude, Cass is in.
Is right in there.
What are you talking about?
Yep. He's still heartbroken.
I understand, but it made me angry.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the thing that made me angry about that because Grant, I wanted, what I wanted from this episode was Dean and Castiel reconciliation.
Me too.
And that's not what happened.
Nope.
And I was really upset about that, especially if this is the last time we see Castiel, even though they made it seem like it's not. We don't know. We don't know.
So the actor hasn't said how long.
Well, they haven't renewed it yet.
Well, it's completely.
Right. We don't know where the heck this is going.
Yeah.
We're back to what we were in, what is it, season 5?
Yeah.
Where they left it on a cliffhanger. Yeah. It was like, well, you know, if they don't renew us, it'll be a cliffhanger.
We've been on this too long.
Fringe.
Move on to Fringe.
Olivia.
Which is the first Fringe since like a month. It's been a while. Yeah. And you, I think, predicted it first, so...
If you go back to the earlier episodes, or podcast, you will hear me say that this is, that this universe is the actual universe. And that
There is no other home to go back to.
Peter,
home.
We talked about that last
time. Right.
Well, so now it's for
right,
sure.
Though, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and the observer now said...
You are home.
And that was my frustration. I was like, dude, you're in the right universe. Right. And so finally he realizes it, which leads to the big epic hug kiss.
Which I was happy for.
I was too.
But you know what? That pissed me off though. I'm a romantic. But keep this in mind though. And this is the part that annoyed me about it. I liked how they got to there. Well, no, I didn't like how they got to there. Sorry. Because you find out this is her universe. You know, this is his universe. So this is his Olivia.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that. But what bothers me is kind of this idea that she has lived this whole other life. Nina's real. You know, all these people, Walter, they're all real people
with real lives and bodies. That's true.
Right. So Olivia, unfortunately, for up until halfway through this episode, she's like, okay, Nina, I'm a little worried, you know, that I'm losing myself. You know, I didn't realize we met in this restaurant, you know, regularly. Okay, this is a problem. I'll talk to Walter to see if he can help me with this. But then she talks to the victim of the week, who basically says, in a nutshell, it's better to have loved than lost than never loved at all.
Right.
And Olivia says, gosh darn, that's right. And you know, I love Peter, so I'm going to go for it. So she's willing to say, I'm going to lose myself, my identity, for love, for
I
man.
But
the person I was watching this with made the great cover thing because, like, yes, she's basically going, I don't know what's going on. I'm not sure what's remembering. And then I think she says something like, Nina Sharp, you know, we should do this lunch more often.
Exactly. That's
and Nina Sharp is like, you know.
We do it every
week. But the person I was with was like, well, this is interesting how Nina is like, it's okay. Whoa. Yeah. You didn't remember me? This is terrible. Because I'm the center of the universe. Like, so I just thought that was funny.
One thing I'm going to say is it's not that she's losing herself because it's being replaced by memories of the other Olivia, which is still herself. So it's not that Olivia is just as real.
Yes. Oh, no. She's not an imaginary Olivia.
I'm just saying that Olivia is just as real and just deserving to exist as the other.
I would prefer a happy medium where she could keep both Olivias.
The question is raised point blank in the episode that here's that version of me seemed to be in a better place than this version of me.
Right.
And if push comes to shove, I choose that version.
Yeah, but...
because it somehow feels right.
Right, and it feels right for her in her mindset and her relationship with Peter. But what does that do for all the people that are around her?
Lincoln.
Puppy eyes, that was like little cartoon hearts over his head.
That was so prophetic when he was
like, oh,
sad.
It's like,
So I understand for her it felt like the right thing to do and it probably was, but because of how it affects the people that were around her, I care about Olivia and Peter.
and Walter.
Well, I
think we'll get a chance to see how this plays out in the last.
So I'm hoping so.
Yeah, because I keep thinking it feels like. That was my thing where I was like, it feels a lot like the season's kind of resolved.
The big thing was,
Peter doesn't exist. Peter is bad. Peter wants to go home. Peter realizes he is home.
But the fact
that's
that he's there.
You've got the big bad out there, though.
That guy. I mean, I love Jared Harris, I love him, but he's not introduced to, like, halfway through the season.
But he's
how the season starts.
That's true, but you still got him trying to blow up the universe.
You do. I'm not saying you don't have to deal with it. But, next week's episode, they're going back to a monster from the first pilot.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like,
I don't know if that's like a diversion or something.
Isn't that the guy from the plane?
I don't think so.
I like your sound effect. Do that.
Again, either way, it's from the first season.
Yeah.
It's a creature from the first season that it looks like a standalone. I'm like, what does this have to do with... You know?
But
either way, Yeah, I mean, of course, I'm happy Fringe is back.
And then I just say the other thing that I really liked about it is the Walter and Peter story in this one was really
really
nice.
Really,
very cool.
Yeah,
I
really
mean,
interesting.
The fact that Walter, you know, the whole idea of, you know, Walter saying to Peter, really, you're the one that's doing this to her, you know, so, and that's not fair. And Peter basically saying, you know, okay, yeah, he's right, and I'll move. Whereas in the first,
but then
know,
later,
the first,
Walter's like, I don't know if I could have been that.
Well,
man,
that's what
to
made it
that.
So nice is
right.
that
he
was
he
able to
call
do
back
that.
To the Greek of be a better man.
Oh, right.
Than
yes,
you
which is great. And then, but the idea is, if you've watched the show from the beginning, which ideally we should have, you know, you go back and think in the beginning, you know, Peter would have never been like, yes, Walter, you're right, in terms of like love and those relationships.
Right.
He wouldn't have taken it his advice to heart so
Wait,
much.
That's true.
So I like the fact that he's gotten to that point in that relationship with them.
Thumbs up for Fringe.
Yes.
Moving on. Last show we have to talk about is Spartacus.
Oh. Woo!
And this week, which is weird because we saw two episodes. Well, I saw two episodes back to back, but we didn't get to talk about it last week. But basically, everything is coming together. Though I wonder, what is it that Lucretia, does she have some sort of kryptonite going on where she can't, none of her plots
none
work?
Of her plans
like,
work
what
out.
Is the deal? Like, every time
she's lost her mojo.
Every scheme, like, first season, she would scheme and everything would work out. You know, it's like
because
all her schemes were working.
She was the domino.
All her schemes were working. This year,
she ain't nothing.
None of her schemes are working, though I really do think Asher's days are numbered because he keeps pushing
I
her.
I hope so.
He keeps pushing her. I was like, dude, she has killed far more superior men than you. Like, and I'm just keep wondering, that is actually my problem. Why does she not just kill him? Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I think it would be awesome if he, like, survives whatever happens with Spartacus and then she ganks him.
She has to. He deserves. Basically,
he deserves
to die at this point. I really want Asher dead.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
I like Asher generally, but what he's doing to Lucretia
is
even though Lucretia's like a villain, but what he's doing to her, I feel like he has to die now,
yeah.
And she has to be the one that kills him.
Sympathy for the devil.
She just really has to kill him. But the whole Alethea Lucretia plot, when they plot together, however, they are awesome.
Oh, yeah, but except for Alethea does the old backstab.
Not against Lucretia.
Well, no. Do you think that Lucretia wanted Alethea to kill?
I think they were in on that together because they were talking about
okay,
it.
Okay, so
they said very clearly, we're going to set fire to her heart for vengeance, and then we're going to, you know, we're going to light that fire, we're going to do whatever, but
see,
I have to say, the creepiest scene, serial killer thing, they freaking slit this woman's throat.
In
blood
the
is
tub.
Blood is literally
everywhere.
And then they have
and then they
sex.
Make love!
They have sex right next to the body! I was like, oh my god.
Kibbles and bits about.
Oh my, that was so disgusting. That was just so disgusting. And it wasn't hot at all.
But,
like, they were trying to play that for hotness, and I was like, dude, you are covered in another person's blood right now.
The name of the episode was Monsters, and they firmly established by the end.
Oh, man.
That wacky Globber family
are
truly monsters.
Oh, man.
Is truly monsters.
That was just like, ugh. But the whole Spartacus breaking up with his girlfriend thing is,
Yeah. I loved his plan to get all the gladiators, or all the...
I thought that was gonna backfire.
I thought they were all too.
One, I thought they were all gonna be drunk when the freaking Romans showed up. I was like, oh, that's not gonna be good. Though the Rome, like where they left it off, they are screwed. Like this happened for real. I feel like this part is really in history because I remember this. For some reason, I remember because
the show is not all historical.
Well,
it's based on history,
but then
they
just
take lots of liberties.
Yes, basically, the last episode ends with them being knocked out of their fortress and they have to retreat
up
Vesuvius. They have to basically retreat up this mountain pass. There's no other way off the mountain and they're not going to have food and water. So Glauber's basically like, they can stay up there as long as they want. When they go mad and want food, then we'll kill them when they come down.
When those fireballs came over, I'm like, is Vesuvius getting ready to blow? Or
they had engines of war, but they
show the fireballs first and then show.
I thought they looked very much like engines of war fireballs. It was a really good episode. I thought, like, it ends on a great cliffhanger because now
what's gonna happen?
But they've bound it. But the thing that's a trip because I'm like, based on history, Spartacus unites thousands of slaves and they haven't gotten to that yet.
Yeah, they still got ways to go.
Right. So
I'm not sure what the plan is in terms of this because we know how it ends. ends.
Yeah, we know how it ends.
But they have a long way to go to get
How's
there.
How's the guy who plays Spartacus? Is he doing a good job?
Yeah, he's doing pretty good.
I think he's really grown into the role.
So anyway, wrapping up, thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. Severed thumbs up.
Severed thumbs up. So wrapping this podcast up, if you want to send feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Listen to us on getthepointradio.com and kryptonradio.com. And we're on stitcher.com. And...
Weedonopolis.com.
And talk to you guys next week.
Later. Bye.